What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is a special edition of the Girl Report Podcast here on a Sunday night. Just got done watching SummerSlam on the WWE Network for $9.99, and we're going to talk about it right now, and I want to pass it over to my man, Adley Green, from the Body Slam Podcast. What's up, man?
Frank D, man, thank you very much for having me. I've actually been listening to the Girl Report Podcast for quite a while, and I've said to myself on multiple occasions, I got to do a podcast with that guy, and here we are.
Yeah, absolutely, but we're not alone tonight.
We are not.
We actually have the man who actually does a lot of graphics for the Girls Report Podcast, and is my man, the Wrestling Jackal. What's up, Jackal?
Hey, how's it going? Just got finished watching the SummerSlam, just like all you guys. Here to do my review.
Right. And we got one more person on here, and this man I have never done anything with, but apparently he does a lot of stuff for the website as well. He's coming all the way from Bakersfield, California, which is right around the way from me. I want to say hello to Andrew Davis. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys? I'm basically, I guess you call the Berwick's his local your historian, because I'm the one that handles all the this day in history and all that. So, but hey, now you're paying me $9.99 to do this interview, right?
Yeah, you'll be waiting on that one. I got to talk to Steve about that one. If we have the $9.99 to give away, I don't know. I mean, it's under $10 a month, so you know we got to get that out the way. But out here tonight, Southern California, SummerSlam was rocking tonight at the Staples Center. This by far was probably one of the best SummerSlams I've seen in years. I personally have not seen last year's, but I definitely made sure tonight to see it, and we're going to talk about that right now, because I don't know about you guys, I don't know what devices you guys are using tonight, but on the PlayStation 3, I was experiencing some hiccups tonight with the SummerSlam streaming. Did any of you have that?
I use the Xbox 360, and I also tried it on my phone as well, which is a Samsung S4, and I had it freezing and kind of did it throughout the whole show. Every once in a while, just kind of stopped and froze. So.
I experienced some freezing up, but wasn't that bad. I think at one point in the middle of the IC title match, it froze up for maybe about a minute. But other than that, it was like a quick, you know, it froze, and then it was gone. It was back before you even really noticed it.
Right. What about you, Adley?
I used the Kindle Fire TV box, and it froze a little bit during the AJ Page match. It froze a little bit during the flag match. But during the hype video going into the main event, it actually booted me off, so I had to actually log out and log back in just in time for the ring introductions.
Oh, wow. Okay. My problem started actually when the immortal Grandpa Huckster was walking onto the stage tonight, and I heard Real American come on. I said, oh, God. After Monday night and the huge pop that the NWO porno music got, I would have been like, okay, Hogan's in L.A. You know, he's in the la-la land. He's in the ghetto. Why not come on out and, let's hear the Rock House hit the screen. And it was Real American. Hogan came out there, and he was shilling the WWE Network, letting us know that it's $9.99, and the fans were chanting $9.99, and I wonder, all those fans tonight that were chanting $9.99 in the Staples Center, how many of them actually pay $9.99 for the WWE Network?
Probably $9.99 of them did.
I would probably think so. And by the way, this podcast right now is being brought to you by Gerwick.net for $9.99. Okay. So we're gonna roll with that one tonight. But as we said, SummerSlam kicked off tonight. It was actually a kickoff show. It was with Mr. Pay-Per-View Kickoff, Rob Van Dam, versus, my God, what happened to Cesaro? And they had a pretty good match, but it's a match that we've seen before. And it was a good win for RVD and the continued burial, in my opinion, of Cesaro. What do you think about that, Adley?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he upset somebody in the locker room or he just stepped on the wrong person's toes, but they just pulled the plug on his momentum out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it would have made sense for Cesaro to go over in this match, but I had a feeling RVD was going to win because of the fact that they've done nothing with Cesaro since he kind of distanced himself from Paul Heyman. But, you know, he's a super talented guy. I'd love to see them do more with him, but it just looks like it's not in the cards right now.
Yeah, Daniel?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, it just seems like since Cesaro got with Heyman, it just seemed like his whole push kind of stopped from there. It seemed like he was pretty hot after WrestleMania, after, you know, winning the, you know, Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which nobody thought would mean anything, but it kind of meant something, you know, for Cesaro, because, you know, people were cheering for it after that show, at least.
What do you think about that, Andrew?
I was really surprised. Just, you know, the one thing I didn't understand, this whole slide for Cesaro to really go back to when the WWE asked him to stop using the swing because it was getting too over with the fans and he was supposed to be a heel. I've never understood that kind of thinking by the WWE. You know, something's getting over that big with the fans, go with it. Don't kill it. Go with it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. Me personally, you know, with Cesaro's momentum really, to me, started to fade as soon as he aligned with Paul Heyman the day after WrestleMania. And I thought that the people wanted to see Cesaro be this, you know, big swing, king of swing babyface. And WWE went in the exact opposite, and it hurt the guy's momentum, and now he's no longer a Paul Heyman guy. And he comes out now, he barely gets the reaction he was getting a few months ago. That says a lot. A few months ago, this guy was like going to be the hottest babyface, and it didn't happen. And all of a sudden, now tonight, he's driving to RBD. And from what I understand, reading on Gerwig.net, that RBD is about to take time off.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody in the business last night. I was at a show, and they basically said that he's basically leaving next month. And the way I understand it, it's not necessarily like he's taking one of the hiatuses like he has since he returned to the company last year, that it actually is built up. And at this point, he's not necessarily against re-signing, but he's going to be taking time away from the company, completely away from the company, before deciding whether or not he's going to re-sign a new deal or not. So it's not just another one of those taking one of the breaks that he's allowed to take under his contract.
Right. Totally understand that. And we go now to the actual SummerSlam show. I mean, we don't need to really rehash the boring kickoff show panel that they have there, because their panel sucks compared to ours. And ours is $9.99. Go ahead.
Did you guys catch the whole thing between Cesaro and the panel after his match? What was he trying to say? I didn't even hear a word he said.
I couldn't either.
You know what? I couldn't understand it.
Nope.
So, yeah, that goes for all of us, I guess. But we start SummerSlam off tonight with the Intercontinental Championship, as Hollywood Miz is what they should call him, Hollywood Miz. And he's come out with some Miami Vice-type music, taking on Dolph Ziggler. And, I mean, hell must have frozen over tonight. And it was hot as hell today. It was 101 degrees here. Dolph Ziggler actually became the new Intercontinental Champion. And I want to go around here, you know, starting with Adley, then Daniel, then Andrew, get everybody's opinion of this match. And why would they take the Intercontinental belt off of The Miz when The Miz has just been refurbished into this new Hollywood character, took the belt off him so quickly? What do you think is behind this?
I mean, the way I look at it, I thought going into the show that The Miz was definitely retaining, because as you said, they just repackaged him into this Hollywood babyface. But as soon as we found out this was the opening contest, I thought, okay, maybe Ziggler has a chance. And to my surprise, Ziggler did win. Because they don't really mention any of his past exploits. They don't mention him as a former world champion. They almost kind of mention, like, oh, he's almost lucky to get an IC title shot, and he successfully wins the title. But at the same time, if you notice all the IC champions lately, they really don't put much stock into whoever's wearing the actual Intercontinental Championship belt. So I wonder if this is a way to kind of get the belt off of Miz so we can go on to bigger and better things, and Ziggler can just do his thing with the belts, you know, in the mid card.
Could be. What do you think, Daniel?
It definitely surprised me to see Dolph win. I didn't think that they'd, you know, put the belt on Miz and then take it off so soon. And plus, the way that they've been booking Dolph, it's just been, I think he should have been up there a long time ago, but he's been kind of just, jobbing to everybody. But, lately he's been kind of on a roll. So, but it was surprising.
I was completely surprised. I personally really like The Miz. I know a lot of people don't. I like Ziggler too, but I just didn't get it. I don't understand why they would take the belt off and run away, except for if Wade. I don't know how long Wade Barrett is supposed to be out, and if maybe he's supposed to come back, and they wanted to have it on Ziggler to possibly drop it back to Barrett when he comes back. I just don't get it. Right now there really isn't much room to move up on the ladder because, as we'll touch on later with the world title, I don't see the world title going anywhere between now and WrestleMania. I think this is a chance that maybe they could really work on building up the lower titles like the U.S. and the Intercontinental. But I don't get it. Why take it off The Miz? And what, a month?
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand either. I mean, here's the deal: the Intercontinental Championship hasn't meant anything in years, and you have the United States Championship that's just sitting over there. I think Shane is the champion. I might be wrong, but they're not doing anything with either belt. And as we're going to talk about later with Andrew just said, the World Heavyweight Championship. That title's not going anywhere anytime soon, and if it goes to anybody, it's probably going to go to Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins, before it goes to anybody else. I personally don't think that this Hollywood Miz character is necessarily going to get over. I don't really see it getting over. I mean, how many times has the Miz been repackaged? And the guy had his chance. They had him in there a few years ago with John Cena. He was the main event in WrestleMania, but it wasn't about him. It was about The Rock and John Cena built into their match at WrestleMania 28. That's what it was about. So, I don't know. I just, with Dolph Ziggler, I mean, you kind of hope at this point, they're going to push Dolph Ziggler, and Dolph Ziggler has the IC belt, but we have to remember something. The IC belt hasn't meant anything in so long. So I don't have any reason to believe that they're going to do anything with it now. The focus isn't on Dolph Ziggler. I don't know who Ziggler pissed off to begin with back there, and it was just around, what was it, last year or the year before or something, where Ziggler ran his mouth about Randy Orton. And that's what got him in the doghouse. So he's just now getting out of the doghouse. He got the Intercontinental belt tonight, but still, where does he go from here? I mean, there really isn't any real top contenders for that championship belt. And I think everybody's going to be happy for nothing, all the Ziggler fans.
I completely agree. I believe Sheamus currently is still the U.S. champion, which, to that matter, I don't even think he was one of the Lumberjacks tonight. So, where's he been?
Mike, we're gonna have to get to that. And any other thoughts, Daniel Adley, on the Dolph Ziggler Intercontinental Championship win tonight?
I just wanted to ask you guys, SummerSlam is known for great IC title matches between, Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect, Bret Hart, Bulldog, Shawn Razor, the list goes on and on. What do you guys think this ranks as far as, IC title matches at SummerSlam?
Oh, it's way, it's not even in the top 20.
No.
It's not even there, man. I mean, you just mentioned all the great ones there, Mr. Perfect, Bret Hart, Rick Rude, versus Ultimate Warrior was one. I don't even know, man. I'm being honest with you, I don't even know. I have to think about that one.
I mean, my expectations were a little higher than maybe most people because a few years ago, Rey Mysterio and Ziggler had a great IC title match to open up the show. So I was expecting, similar match to take place. And even though there's stuff to complain about, I wouldn't call it one of the greatest IC title matches of all time.
It was passable. It was a passable match. You gotta understand something here. The Miz, has his fans and he has his detractors, but the Miz, it's not like he's this world-class worker. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he's a technician of technicians. The Miz goes out there and Miz does his thing. But Dolph Ziggler, you expect a little bit more. you expect a little bit more, and Ziggler a year ago would have gave you a little bit more. But Ziggler is just now getting to his groove. I'm pretty sure he goes out there and they give him the booking sheet for a night and says, "Oh, I win." Well, you know, now you're starting to get you're building your confidence up now a little bit. But, you know, like you, I was expecting a little bit more. Which brings me to the next matchup on the card, and it was for the WWE Divas Championship. It was AJ Lee against that Daphne wannabe Paige. And we'll start with you, Adelaide, and go around the circle here. What did you think about this championship match tonight between AJ and Paige?
It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be, considering the fact that, number one, it's AJ in the match, and number two, this is one of the rare pay-per-views where there are two women's matches, and one of the women's matches had Stephanie McMahon in it, so you really don't want one match to outshine the other. I thought it was simple, effective, and I loved like the Rampage DDT that Paige ended it with.
That's pretty sweet.
My thoughts on the match was I'm disappointed. I was very disappointed with Paige's first run with the belt. Unlike a lot of people, I could think of a few different people that were more deserving of the belt than AJ when she came back, but at the same time, I was happy they took it off Paige. But I'm disappointed they put it back on her. I don't think she's really grown that much in the ring since, you know, she had lost the belt. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It was. Why did they take the belt off of her, you know, if they were going to put it right back on Paige, you know, on the very next pay-per-view? Because they just took it off of Paige, you know, on a couple months ago, and to put it right back on her again. I think she needs more time probably down in NXT and get a little bit more experience. She looked good, I guess, but that's about all I could say.
Adley, are you with us?
Yes.
Okay. I thought we had lost you. Yeah, my thing is this on this match here. You know, I'm not a Paige fan at all. The moment that I gave Paige, you know, a chance when I saw her and Emma wrestle that on an NXT special a few months ago, and I said, okay, this girl can work. But when they bring her up to the main roster and she's screaming, it reminds me of a girl named Daphne that used to be in WCW back in the day. Same, similar gimmick. Daphne had the same pale look going on. So that's how I look at her. And then, you know, Paige doesn't really know how to sell. I mean, I will give her that Rampage DDT that she did tonight. That was pretty good move there. But it's just, you know, I'm just not really digging the whole storyline between her and AJ, because AJ hasn't really done anything forthcoming to say that she's a babyface. She hasn't done anything to say, you know, she's embracing the fans. So I think that's where a lot of it, you know, a lot of my things, you know, I'm like, I don't know what this is, because who's a heel, who's a babyface? I mean, Paige attacked AJ, but people can say, well, you know, big deal, because AJ's a heel. Or is she a heel? So I think that's where a lot of stuff gets confused in there, and they need to clarify the roles as we go on in the future. I mean, some people say, well, you know, AJ went out there and turned, you know, babyface or whatever. Well, that didn't really happen. She just got beat down by Paige. That's all that happened. So I'm the kind of guy, I grew up watching wrestling on AJ. It's supposed to be the heels versus the faces. Go ahead.
I don't think there's not so much, it's the whole heel babyface thing anymore. I know, you know, Vince has just said numerous times that he wants that line to be more blurred, that, you know, they're not to really be so clear-cut heels and baby faces. So I think that might be part of the reason why, as you're saying, it's hard to tell, you know, is she a heel or is she a face? She's not really embracing the fans, and at the same time, she's really not acting like that much like a heel either. So...
And that's the stupidest. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Let's blur the line here. We don't really need heels and baby faces anymore. That is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. You go to a movie, okay? you're going to cheer for the good guy, or you're going to boo the bad guy. Same thing works in wrestling. That's how it's always been. You have the heel that you hate, and you have the babyface you love, and you pay to see the babyface beat that heel. That's how the business has worked for years. I don't understand. I guess Vince McMahon, in his old age, he's come to the conclusion that we don't need heels and faces anymore, which I think is stupid. There's a reason why I kind of can't wait. I mean, even though the guy said, you know, we're cheap and we're marks and whatever, and we don't want to pay our $9.99 a month, which I've been doing for 6 months, you know what? I can't wait for Triple H to take over. Because Triple H is a traditionalist, you know. I mean, who was one of the better heels in the year 2000? Who was the heel in the year 2000? Triple H.
So. Yeah, I completely agree. For a while there, the tag team division was going really strong. He had built that back up, but obviously, you know, he still doesn't have all the power that he really needs because it's gone away again. So obviously, Vince is, you know, still swinging that sword of power. You know, at times, the product looks great. You can see that Triple H and Stephanie are truly, you know, maybe taking the company in the right direction. But then at the same time, as soon as anything gets going good, it seems that Vince, you know, takes the axe out and goes, nope, we're not going to do that. We're going back to this way.
Very true. Next match on the SummerSlam card tonight was Jack Swagger with Zeb Coulter versus Rusev with Lana. Now, outside of the highlight of Lana being out there tonight, I have to tell you, Jack Swagger and Rusev, and I've never been a Jack Swagger fan, but he impressed me tonight. I thought that was a damn good match. Sorry, would you add me and go around all the way?
Man, I thought the match was good. I think Rusev was the right guy to win, but the whole hurt ankle thing kind of took me out of it at times, because normally you do the hurt ankle, the hurt body part gimmick with the babyface, and you want to build sympathy for the babyface. But I didn't get what they were trying to do. Like, I guess maybe they were trying to show how tough Rusev was, that he could fight through a hurt ankle. But being trained, you know, 20-plus years on the babyface always gets hurt, and then this time around the heel gets hurt, it kind of took me out of it here and there. But ultimately, I mean, the match was good, and I think the right guy won.
Right. I totally agree. Daniel?
Yeah. Right guy won the match. I don't really like how they're really pushing the Russian national anthem and all that stuff, but it's kind of, I guess it's a way to build the heat and to get heat on Rusev and heat on the show, I guess. But yeah, it was a good match. Lana looked good, just like she always does.
Yeah, yeah, and I can't believe Rusev is banging that, but that's my opinion. go ahead, Andrew.
I have to agree that, you know, it was a great match, but I'm kind of confused with the ending with him attacking Zeb Coulter like he did, my thought on it is either one, that Coulter is going to be the next budget cut victim, or two, they're going to draw this storyline on further, which really makes no sense because, I mean, you know, after tonight, how much longer are they going to drag the storyline on that, you know, at least, but, you know, Rusev has pretty much dominated Swagger, and he got it, basically took him out tonight, and I think it's time for him to move on to maybe some other opponents, you know, bigger things. And, of course, Lana looks great.
I kind of agree with you on that. I don't necessarily think that Coulter, you know, Dutch Mantel is going to be a budget cut. I think they'd be out of their mind if they did that. Here's one of the greatest bookers in the world, you know, and all the stuff that he's done in Puerto Rico. I mean, the guy, basically gave Steve Austin his name. So, you know, why would you not have that asset there along with Paul Heyman? Paul Heyman, by the way, who has probably right now the number one selling DVD, My Name is Paul Heyman, which you can find at Walmart, and you can also find on WWEShop.com, and it's not $9.99. So I just want to put that out there.
I got to correct you on one thing. He probably won't be able to find it at Walmart or Best Buy or anywhere. because that's how well it's selling, is they cannot keep it on the shelves.
Well, I tell you what.
This is true, because I went to Best Buy yesterday, and it was completely sold out, and I went to Amazon.com to buy it, and it said usually ships within 1 to 2 months, so it's a very hard find right now.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, now that I know this, I was just at Walmart yesterday, and they had about 6 of them on the shelf for $14. So now that I know this, I should go get those.
Yeah, you might, if you're not already too late, you might want to pick one up before they're gone, because they said it's, I think it's, I'm not sure on the exact numbers, but I think this might be the hottest selling DVD in the history of wrestling DVDs.
I think it will be, because you know what? At one point, years ago, ECW, the ECW behind the rise and fall of ECW was number one for a while there. They were selling them, and they just released Paul Heyman, and they also have the OMG Top 50 Incidents in WCW. That's also on the shelf right now as well at your local retailers if you want to go and get that. But as we continue on, because I feel like Michael Cole, we got Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose in a lumberjack match. And I tell you right now, I remember back in the day watching lumberjack matches, and the entire ring area would be full of wrestlers. Heels on one side, baby faces on the other side. And is this all that's left of the roster in the WWE right now? Is this it? Because they had these guys spread out, and there wasn't a lot of guys. We'll start with you, Atlee, and then we'll go back around.
Ambrose versus Rollins gets my pick for match of the night. I mean, I had a few people overwatch the event. It was the one match that just kept my eyes glued to the television for the entire time. And to go back to what you said, Frank, about seeing all the wrestlers outside, I mean, it really does not only see that's all the wrestlers they have, but it really also shows a lack of depth within the roster as a whole. But yeah, the match was action-packed from bell to bell. Rollins and Ambrose both played their roles nicely. I even liked how they brought in the audience for a little bit, and then Kane had to come out and tell the wrestlers, hey, what are you doing? Get them. And it kind of made you think, oh, yeah, that's actually a good point. You know, why aren't they going out to get them? And I actually liked Jerry Lawler's commentary during the match where he said, hey, as the Shield, these guys beat up a lot of the locker room, so they're probably not going to give them any leeway. So I thought they told a good story.
Yeah. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, I agree. I would give this my match of the night pick as well. It kept the audience in the show, you know, through the whole match. People were chanting, "This is awesome." I expected Dean Ambrose to win the match. I thought that Seth Rollins could lose because he has the Money in the Bank, but you know, it ended up the way it did, and Seth won. But I expected different.
I agree that it probably was the match of the night. It was a really fun match to watch. To see these two guys just absolutely hate each other, just going at it. I don't know if you guys noticed. You guys see the face plant where Rollins took off the announce table on the outside?
Right, yeah. I think I did see that.
I was like, ooh. You know, it looked like it was pretty nasty, but it wasn't. But I thought the match lived up to what it should have been. As for the guys on the outside, my first thought was, in small numbers that there were on the outside, I think that was the largest group of lumberjacks the WWE's put out there for a lumberjack match in a very long time. Usually, there's been even less than that. You'd be lucky if you get maybe two wrestlers on each side of the ring. My first thought was, that's the largest group of lumberjacks they've put out there for a lumberjack match in a long time. And it was still a lot smaller than what it used to be.
I actually wonder if Ambrose is going to get any heat in the locker room for doing the gunshot before he hit the curb stomp.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's a PG show, I mean...
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. You know what? I forgot all about that, but you're right. He did. He did it before he hit Rollins with it. It doesn't bother me, man. You know what? If you really wanted to be honest about the situation, and I know where you're going with it because it was taken out of American History X, that movie years ago. If it was really an issue with him doing a gunshot, then they should never even call it a move to curb something to begin with. So
I completely agree with that one. I mean, I don't know. I still don't understand the whole, you know, why the whole PG-13 rating would come into play there when it's a pay-per-view. With pay-per-view, that should not be a factor into it.
You know what? I agree with you, but here's the world that we live in as far as with the business how it is now. They're all their programming minus something you see on the network that's already been done, and probably DVDs that they put out in the future. They'll have that in, you know, that TV-14 or whatever it is rating. They have advertisers. I mean, I think tonight's show was sponsored by Totino's or something like that. So
exactly.
So they have advertisers that, you know, like Mountain Dew that they never drink that sits on the table. They have I wouldn't drink it either. But they have sponsors, and they don't want to piss off their sponsors or anything like that. I mean, I remember back in the day where, you know, they had a match there. WCW had that pay-per-view years ago called Uncensored. But nothing Uncensored happened on that show. It was just in name only. It's kind of like Extreme Rules. Like, you think you're going to go out there and see all this hardcore brutality, bleeding, and everything like that, and you don't see it. So they had that match, and I remember one of the first matches they had was it was a match with Dustin Rhodes versus the Blacktop Bully, and they bled hard way in that match. And Eric Bischoff actually fired them because there was no blood clause for WWE TV.
Yeah.
And this was way before the PG, you know, era or whatever. So, you know, hey, you know, I would think that a little color sometimes in a match is good, but the censors are always going to be. I mean, this is a company where WWE always said they fought against censorship. They used to encourage fans to bring signs and say whatever you want to, and now you see nobody really brings signs to the arena anymore because they're afraid to get them taken away. Because WWE wants to censor everything. I mean, if you notice something on the DVDs that they release now, they don't never show somebody being choked with a cord or something like that. They'll go to the fan. They'll go to fan footage. And then they'll come back to the match. They won't show any choking on the DVDs, but if you look on the network, they show choking, they show all that stuff. So I don't know. I just,
yeah, which is,
you know,
that's what happened. That's why Daniel Bryan was released in 2010 after the very first night of the Nexus, because he had choked Justin Roberts with the tie, and then of course he was brought back 2 months later in SummerSlam.
Well, it's very interesting you mentioned that, because right now on the network, and then we're gonna go to the next match here, on the network they actually have that episode of Raw where the Nexus debuted. Next match on the card, we had the... Well, first of all, let me say this about the match, the Lumberjack match there. Thought it was high-intensity match. It was everything you thought it would be. But my opinion, I would have put them in a cage instead of choosing a Lumberjack situation.
I was saying the same exact thing. I said it the entire time leading up to this match. It should be in a cage.
Yep. Yeah, so a cage match would have been a hot seller. I mean, that really would have probably pushed more people to spend their $9.99 and buy the network for SummerSlam. But hey, you know what? What do we know? We're just cheap marks. So, anyways, we're going to go on to the next match tonight. Chris Jericho versus Bray Wyatt. And I have to tell you, to me, this match was okay, but it was kind of another letdown. I think it was better than the previous matches, though. And we'll start with you, Adam, and go all the way around.
I mean, this is one of the programs where you talk about Bray Wyatt, Chris Jericho. It's one of those programs where the build-up and the microphone work between the two is much better. It's really the highlight compared to what they actually produce in the ring. Not that what they produce in the ring is bad, but the microphone work is definitely what carries the feud. And I have no complaints of the match whatsoever. I mean, I thought, you know, just Jericho won at Battleground, and I think he needed to return the favor, and he did, you know, against Bray Wyatt at SummerSlam, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I think it was a really great match. I'm glad that that Bray Wyatt got the win, because let's be serious, since he lost to Cena at WrestleMania, he really has been kind of like in a stall. They really haven't done that. You know, he keeps losing all the momentum he had that he built going into WrestleMania basically is gone. And So I was really happy to finally see him get a big win like that without the outside interference. I know one of you guys had mentioned on the line earlier, you know, before the show, in prediction that you thought there was going to be somebody, a new member debuting. But I was really happy to see that he got the clean win over to Chris Jericho, without needing any outside interference or anything. So it kind of helps build him back up and maybe get that momentum he had going into WrestleMania back again.
What about you, Daniel?
I was the one that kind of predicted that there would be some interference in the match. I didn't. I expected Bray Wyatt to win this match. The reason that I had that little prediction of interference was just from listening. I listened to Chris Jericho's podcast earlier this week, and he had actually Bray Wyatt called in and did a phone promo, which this phone promo was, almost more entertaining than watching Monday Night Raw, so it was a really good match to watch. I was happy that there was no, outside interference, because usually in, Bray Wyatt's matches, that's what you get. So, but yeah, it was a good match for me. I don't have any complaints about it.
It seems to me, though, once again, it's kind of like how we were talking earlier about Cesaro. It seems to me that after, Bray Wyatt feuded with John Cena, he's kind of cooled off a lot in the past couple months. I mean, I would have thought that this feud here with Jericho, and I'm not any means a Jericho fan at all, but I would have thought this would have been a hotter angle than what it's been, especially because Chris Jericho can go on the mic. But so far, it's been kind of iffy a little bit. I think that they're going to have another match at Night of Champions, and I would love to see them have some type of a stipulation in that match as well, which we can keep Harper and Rowan out of it and have Chris and Bray go out there and have a pretty good bout. And I think also they were put in a bad spot here because the fans were, just coming down from Ambrose and Rollins. And the fans, kind of suck with it. And I thought one of the highlights of the match, though, is when, Bray Wyatt did that spider walk he does, that Exorcist Insidious thing he does. That was pretty cool. That's some demonic stuff like they said on commentary today. I have to give them that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You're talking, I think Danner touched on the promo on Raw Monday, and I just got to say, it's pretty bad when a 15-minute Paul Heyman promo or a Cena promo is a lot more entertaining than a promo by Bray Wyatt. I love Bray Wyatt. I love his promos, and I just didn't get the whole segment on Raw Monday.
I think what he was trying to say Monday, and then we're going to move on, is that pretty much, he was, saying that Jericho's a savior, and he's going to wipe out the savior. And Jericho says, I'm not, the savior. I'm going to pretty much, beat you, and that's going to be the end of you. And, you got to pretty much know that tomorrow night on Raw, Bray Wyatt is going to have to do something to get his heat back, because he got hit with that cold breaker out of nowhere. So, we'll have to wait and see what happens with that one, which brings us to this. We got Stephanie McMahon versus Brie Bella. Now, let me ask these guys this question real quick before we get started with this one. Out of Nikki and Brie, who do you think has the most talent out of the Bella Twins? We'll start with you, Adley, and then go all the way down.
I definitely think it's Brie.
Okay. What do you think, Daniel?
I have to disagree. I've always thought Nikki was the better wrestler. I don't think there's that big of a difference talent wise between the two of them. But I've always would have to give the edge to Nikki.
Yeah, okay, I'd probably say the same. I'd probably go with Nikki as well.
Okay. Just like in the Bray Wyatt Jericho match, in which, you know, Wyatt got the win after the match, he rehashed that he's got the whole world in his hands song. I did not like the finish of this match between Stephanie and Brie. Number one, didn't we see the Bella Twins years ago? They split up. They were feuding with each other before. I think they had something going on with Carlito and Primo or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happened there. So that's kind of where this came. This right here, I mean, it's been predicted for weeks that this was going to be the finish. And I still can't believe they actually went with this, because, I mean, where is the justification in Nikki turning on Brie? They're both on that stupid Total Divas show. You know, I mean, I don't get it. And we'll start with you first. Let me go around the way. I just don't get it.
No, I have to agree with you, because I must have missed the memo as far as predictions. I didn't hear any predictions, but as soon as she made her way to ringside, I thought right away, okay, we know where this is going. It was instant. But if you look at it from a storyline perspective, I mean, one of the things that Stephanie McMahon gave Brie in order to get her to return to drop the charges was that Nikki gets more money. She gets a substantial raise. So storyline-wise, she's gotten something out of this. So it makes you wonder, why else would she turn on Brie after getting a substantial raise because of her sister? But as far as the match goes, you know, I mean, one thing about Stephanie McMahon and Vince McMahon matches is that they're always kind of they're kind of scripted move for move, instead of just kind of going with your gut, which I noticed. And there's a lot of premeditation on both their parts. They're executing their moves throughout. But yeah, I mean, Stephanie won. I didn't see that going any way but a Stephanie McMahon victory.
What do you think about that, Daniel?
Yeah, same here. I didn't see it going any other way. I thought it was. And yeah, I had seen, you know, on Twitter, and at least actually a lot on Twitter, you know, people saying that Nikki Bella was going to turn on Brie Bella, you know, in this match. So I had seen it, and, you know, it seemed pretty predictable for me. But yeah, I kind of expected Stephanie to go over on this match.
I predicted it a week ago that it was going to happen. I think the WWE dropped the ball on it. The whole thing with the Claire Lynch 2.0 or whatever her name was on Raw Monday actually made no sense. I thought the what they should have done was have Nikki turn on her sister tonight, and they come out on Raw tomorrow night and reveal that she's been. You know, the reason she did it, she's in love with Dana Bryan, that she's having an affair with Dana Bryan. I think if they'd done it that way, it would have made a lot more sense. It might have been not that bad of an angle either, but the way they did it, it was horrible. I just didn't get it.
Yeah, so the problem with that logic of having, you know, Nikki come out and say that she's been having an affair with Daniel Bryan, just like they did Monday when the Claire Lynch, you know, 2.0, as you say, they came out there and said the same thing, is you're attacking the character of Daniel Bryan, and he's not even on TV. And you're gonna have a situation that when you start doing things like that, people are going to start, you know, booing Daniel Bryan whenever he makes his return. But I don't know that, because who's to say that they really give a crap about the Bella Twins to begin with? I mean, you know, tonight, as soon as Nikki took her hat off, you knew something was going to happen. So when it happened, it wasn't that big of a shock. I don't think anybody in the Staples Center, unless you lived under a rock, you were shocked by that finish. I wasn't. I thought Stephanie McMahon, though, tonight, she looked damn good out there. I thought that the outfit looked good. And I'm thinking to myself, man, Triple H really got him something there. You know, and all he had to do was take a work years ago with the wedding angle and turn into a shoot, and now he's the king. And it's like unbelievable. Just like, wow, some guys have all the luck. And it's usually the ones who have no talent. But
you know. One thing I noticed about the angle at the very end where Nikki turned on Brie is that when as she was backing up toward the locker room, she wasn't really smiling. She didn't have a vindictive face on. She kinda had this almost either confused look or this look of regret. You know, so
yeah, like a sad. She had like a sad look on her face or something. So, and I'm like, okay, is this part of the angle, or you know?
So yeah, I was really agreed. That was my reaction.
Go ahead, Adley.
I just wasn't sure if she was selling it the wrong way, or that's what they want us to think. They kind of leave us scratching our heads, thinking, okay, she doesn't look mad or vindictive. She almost looks sad, so maybe this is something where she was blackmailed into doing it.
Yeah, but why, how? I mean, but you know, I don't know how she'd be blackmailed because you know, like it was said, you know, Stephanie gave her a raise, you know, and all this different stuff. I mean, what could she possibly have? I mean, it's like this though. Unless you know, like Andrew was saying here, unless they want to go in that direction of saying, okay, she has an affair going on with Daniel Bryan. I mean, that's the only thing, and the authority knows about it. So, you know, you either go out there and do this, or I'm going to tell your sister. So that you know that could be. I don't know. We're in a PG era. I mean, we were just talking a minute ago about a curb stomp in a gunshot pool. Are we going to go into a storyline where we're actually saying it's okay to commit adultery?
I mean, it's just one of those deals where she is dating John Cena right now, so I think that if they are going in that direction, it makes the prospect of the storyline even juicier to it, so because you bring him in on, because if he is cheating, if he is having an affair with Daniel Bryan, or Nikki is, then it's like, okay, that means she's also cheating on John Cena, and that brings him into the fold, so... I mean, I hope they're not doing that, but, you know, that's a possibility.
But have they ever really acknowledged on TV, outside of Total Divas, that John Cena and Nikki Bella are a couple? I've never seen John Cena come to Nikki Bella's aid on TV anytime.
I don't think they have.
Yeah, so that's the only problem with that. But I like it. I like it, but once again, it makes Daniel Bryan look like a player. It kind of reminds me of years ago, you know, when they had the angle going on with Matt Hardy, Lita, and Edge. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Just to touch on one last thing before we move on to the main event, my second thought on where this whole storyline might be going, which I really don't think would make any sense, but it'd be interesting just to see how it goes, maybe. Is supposedly when Daniel Bryan and Bree caught the burglars in the house, you know, in real life a few weeks ago, that the talk at the time was that WWE was planning on working that into the storyline somehow between Bree and Stephanie, you know, Daniel Bryan and Bree and the authority storyline. My thing about it is maybe somehow this is going to be the tie-in to that, maybe, that they're going to say that Nikki was involved in that somehow, but at the same time, I don't see how you can do that.
I don't think that's a good idea at all, personally, to take a burglary and turn it into a storyline. You have to realize, you know, and I'm, you know, this happens all the time. People get you know, broken, people break into people's houses, and if there's somebody there or whatever, you know, home invasion, people get killed. So I don't know how that would be a good idea to go out there and say, oh, well, we sent burglars that could have been armed to Daniel Bryan's house. That I wouldn't do it. I would not cross that line. I mean, there's a thing of, you know, there's some people out there that already thinks that WWE storyline is real. And I read it all the time on the WWE Network Facebook page. There's people talking about, oh, Stephanie, you know, needs to get what she deserves, and blah, 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 blah. I wouldn't even go that far.
I agree. I agree, but like I said, as I said, you know, that was the talk going around that the WWE was going to try to work that into the storyline. I would hope they wouldn't, but like I said, that's the only thing I can think of maybe what they might be going to try to do with Nikki. I mean, otherwise, I have no clue where they're going to go with it.
Yeah, I also heard the talk, too, of WWE earlier this year talking about they were going to double their TV rights fees. And that didn't happen either. So.
Yeah, that's true.
just to throw out
a completely random thought, like you're saying, you know, why would they want to bury Daniel Bryan when he's not even on TV? Maybe, you know, let's go with maybe you know, they're going to go with the whole thing that John Cena was cheating with Bray, and Nikki found out about it?
John Cena would never do that because it would mess up his never give up hokey image attitude. And besides that, you know, listen, WWE for some reason has all these, they have the sponsorship right now with Kmart, which there is no Kmart anymore in Animal Valley, and there is no Kmart in Southern California. So I don't know how the hell we're supposed to get these shoes. And I don't get it, man. It's just, John Cena, he's too squeaky clean. I mean, it's not like Hulk Hogan, you know what I'm saying? Hogan went out there and made the sex tape, and then he got all uproar about it because everybody saw it. So, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of is like, okay, they have a Nikki Bella, you know, Daniel Bryan, goat face sex tape somewhere, and they're going to go ahead and push that on TV. But not likely to happen. I can't see John Cena ever involving himself in something like that that's going to ruin his image in front of the kids. Because it's all about the kids now.
True.
You know, the kids are the ones that have the money. The kids are the ones that are going to spend that $9.99 a month. So, that's
well,
all it is.
Ask the parents who are married, they're going to spend the $9.99 a month. But just for the record, if you were to come to Bakersfield for the show next weekend, we do have a Walmart here if you want to buy a pair of the shoes. And I don't believe they're $9.99.
Well, you know what? I tell you what. We'll have to see how much those shoes actually are. Because I'm telling you, man, I got to get some of those. I got to have that. I'm going to get the Cena shirt and never give up attitude every day. But we digress and go on to the next match. It was Roman Reigns versus the Viper Randy Orton. And I tell you, this match started off crappy. But they got their groove going. They got their momentum going. Me, for myself personally, I think the Superman punch is the stupidest move in wrestling. That's just me, though. We'll start with you, Adam, and we'll go all the way around.
I kind of had to watch this match twice because I heard all the reports going on about how the matches weren't that good at the house shows. And I actually watched one of the house show matches that people were talking about on YouTube. And they were kind of right to a degree because Randy Orton really wasn't giving Roman Reigns any offense for the most part. Every single time he was getting a shine, he would just cut him off with a rear chin lock or a submission hold, and he just really couldn't get the fans into it. I actually really enjoyed how this match was laid out because, in a way, it was Roman Reigns' first real big test. He'd be running through everybody with man punches and spears left and right, but this time Randy Orton made him work for the win, and I like how they had him kick out of the RKO, and I liked how also Randy Orton was kind of at his wit's end where he got to the point where he had to say, you know what, I haven't done the punt in a while, but I need to punt him in order to win. And then, of course, Roman Reigns turned things around, spear, 1-2-3. So I really like this match.
What about you, Daniel?
Yeah, I like this match as well. Roman Reigns, you know, he's hot right now. I expect pretty much the way I see it is, you know, just like a lot of predictions are going right now, you know, he's going to be the one that hopefully conquers Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 31. But right now, you know, keeping him on these lower match, well, I guess I wouldn't call Orton a, you know, lower match on the card. I mean, keeping him, you know, out of championship role until he gets to WrestleMania, I think is good for him, but definitely a good match tonight for Roman Reigns and Orton.
Andrew?
You know, I really can't speak much. To tell you the truth, I nodded off in the middle of the match.
That's not good.
I've always, to that point, been bored by Randy Orton matches. I really can't say much complex. I fell asleep in the middle of the match.
Well, I'll tell you what, my perspective of it was, is, you know, I agree, you know, with Adley that Randy Orton made Roman Reigns work tonight to test him to see where he was going. I thought the spot where they were going for the spear and Randy caught him with the RKO, I thought that was pretty cool. I just, the Superman punch just looks stupid. It just really just looks dumb. And I think that he needs to get a little bit more. I'm pretty sure that's going to be hot for the video game, but I mean, it's like if I'm out in a real fight with somebody, am I going to, like, you know, do some stupid motion with my hand and hit the ground and then like run towards somebody and jump and hit them. No, I'm gonna beat the brakes off somebody. Is what I'm gonna do. It's not gonna be no Superman punch. But Randy, you know, Roman Reigns is out the win tonight, and I thought it was a big win for him. And it just kind of shows you. I mean, when Randy Orton wants to turn it up, he can turn it up. He turned it up tonight. I mean, he told the story of he hit this guy with an RKO. This guy kicked out. So let me go for the punt. And he didn't get the punt. He got speared. He got the Reigns at the 1-2-3. And it kind of goes back to earlier when we were talking about the Intercontinental Championship. Back in the day, when a person was being groomed to be the next heir apparent, to be the next WWE or WWF champion, they would get the IC belt and they'd roll with it. Can't do that anymore because the IC belt is the killer of careers. And that's a shame because they could give Roman Reigns that belt and he could be the undefeated Intercontinental Champion, kind of what RVD was when he was the ECW TV champion for all those months where he never lost. And speaking of championships, we're going to go right now to the main event. And this probably was one of the most one-sided, lopsided matches I ever seen, but it needs to be that way because you have a guy here in Brock Lesnar who was a former shoot fight UFC heavyweight champion against the work John Cena. And we'll start with you first, Abby, and go all the way around. I thought that this was probably one of the most, you know, devastating matches that Cena has ever worked.
I mean, well, before I get into the match, Frank, the John Cena shoes are on sale on Amazon.com and WWE shop for $24.99. So,
what? $24.99.
So if you're looking for the shoes, that's the price.
Man, you know what? They need to come on down that price about $9.99.
But going into the match, I mean, it was kind of going the same way as the Extreme Rules match where Lesnar just dominated John Cena from pillar to post, and then I thought maybe John Cena would get the win out of nowhere, even though Brock Lesnar is my prediction going in. But I actually said this to you guys before we started the show, but the match started around like 10:30 Eastern time, and when Lesnar hit the F5 right off the bat, I thought that was it. They had me fooled. I really thought it was that was the 1-2-3, but just the way Lesnar just annihilated Cena told a very good story because Cena has been known to come back from the jaws of defeat on many occasions, and this time John Cena couldn't do it. This is the one time where he couldn't come back, where he just got beat up way too much, and I think that just really tells a good story of wow, like John Cena was finally dominated. This is the one beating he couldn't come back from, and now Brock Lesnar is your WWE champion.
Daniel?
This one was, as soon as it was over, I walked out to my girlfriend in the living room. She's watching somebody else, something else on TV. I told her, Brock Lesnar just beat the crap out of John Cena. You know, and it was basically a one-sided decimation of John Cena, which not a lot of haven't really seen before. You know, it was one-sided. 16 of the German suplexes. I thought that was kind of a little boring. You know, that it could have done, I guess, a little bit more than 16 German suplexes. But other than that, I mean, it was just like Brock Lesnar said. He said he was going to tear John Cena apart, which he kind of did. So it was a really good match.
What do you think about that, Andrew?
Yeah, you're talking about heat your heart out, Taz. You know, we got a new human suplex machine, Brock Lesnar. I was completely blown away. I never expected it to be that one-sided. I think that was even more one-sided than the match with Taker or WrestleMania. At least Taker got some offense in and looked maybe a little bit, stronger, but Cena just looked like a rag doll out there. I mean, he got some offense in, but it was nothing. I mean, it was just he looked nothing like a jobber out there just getting squashed. I was surprised that I really thought in hindsight watching the match, I thought maybe they should have done that a month ago. Before Cena missed all the TV to film his movie, you know, they at least would have an excuse why it wasn't on TV. If you're just having completely destroyed like that, it would have made more sense to do it before he missed all these weeks of TV filming his movie.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with you on that one. It would have been a perfect injury angle, and you could have actually built up to Cena finally coming back at SummerSlam. I thought the match tonight was just unbelievable. And the fact that it wasn't like the first match they had Extreme Rules, you know, a couple years ago, where in the first 5 minutes of the match, Lesnar busted Cena right, you know, wide open on the top of his head with those elbow strikes. This one was more complex, thought out, laid out, and I mean all those German suplexes. I mean, my God, you know, there was a guy, you know, back in the day who used to do German suplexes like that. I ain't going to mention his name, but y'all pretty much know who I'm talking about. He used to lay them out just like that, back to back to back to back to back. And, I mean, he just completely just annihilated John Cena. And I thought for sure after Lesnar got the 1-2-3, I thought it was something that happened because I believe the pay-per-view ended about 10 minutes early tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it was six minutes to eight when it ended.
Yeah. So they played some confidential classic stuff after the pay-per-view went off. But, you know, all in all, I thought it was good. I think now, after this beating that Cena took tonight, if Cena shows up tomorrow night on Raw, it would be stupid. I think this is, just like The Undertaker, I think that Cena needs to be on TV for a while, if they can do it. Cena needs to be on TV for a minute. And let it really soak into the fact that this guy went out there and got destroyed. I mean, this was John Cena, the guy who destroyed Nexus in one night at SummerSlam in the same building in 2010. Killed so many careers in one night. Same guy who comes back and he's Super Cena. He gets beat down, he gets Tombstone, gets hit in the head with a steel chair, and he comes back and he wins. Well, he didn't come back and win tonight. It was over. It was done. So, Brock Lesnar is the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. On a SummerSlam that I thought was you know pretty good, and what I like to do is I like to give between a 1 and a 10, and we'll go the way around. Starting with you, Avery, first. What do you give SummerSlam 2014, the first on the WWE Network?
Overall, I'll give this SummerSlam a 7.5.
Okay.
I'll go with an 8. I thought it was a pretty good show, and you know like the. Like you said, you know, it's one of the best ones that they've had in a long time.
Andrew?
I'm going to give it a 7.999.
can't resist. I'm gonna actually give it an 8. I thought that just watching, you know, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose out there and work the way they did, it was probably the best match of the night, and I have to give it to him. So I'm going to give it an 8. And I thought outside the streaming issues that WWE needs to work on, I thought it was pretty good. And before we close out here, we wanted to touch on a topic that was some late breaking news earlier this evening. It was said on Gurick.net tonight that Bully Ray of the dead brand, TNA, is no longer with TNA at this point. He said his goodbyes tonight at a TNA live event, and I don't know what the attendance was. I think they may have drawn maybe 50 or 60 people. I'm not sure. But he gave a speech, I guess, backstage tonight saying that he's no longer with the company. Now, this comes days after a report, you know, that says that they had a meeting the other night at the TV tapings, I guess, in which Bully Ray and John Gruborik said that everything is fine with TNA, everything is fine with the company. This comes after TNA has moved to Wednesday nights for Impact because of NFL competition and the possibility of WWE moving SmackDown back to Thursday nights. So we're going to go around the circle here. Start with you first, Adley. What do you think about Bully Ray possibly being done with TNA because they could not come to a deal at this moment?
I mean, I think not being able to come to terms with Bully Ray is coming at the worst possible time because they barely have any big-name talent left. And I would have to imagine with Kurt Angle's contract coming due, he probably makes more than Bully Ray. They're probably not going to re-sign Kurt Angle. So I thought if there's one guy you're going to make concessions for, considering he's been the focal point of your TV for a while, it is Bully Ray. And they have a lot of episodes of Impact in the can already, which Bully Ray is still one of the prominent guys on the show. So they're going to have to do something where they position somebody new in that top babyface spot. Maybe it's Jeff Hardy. Maybe it's somebody else. But that just tells you that nobody is safe. I mean, TNA has a certain price they want to pay talent, and if that talent wants more, like a penny over that price, they're not going to keep them.
A penny over $9.99, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think about this, Daniel? I mean, you know, you have had your issues with Bully Ray.
Yeah.
So what
yeah.
do you think about Bully Ray being gone from the Ned brand?
Well, you know, I mean, as much as he's been, you know, backing them up and telling all the critics to go F themselves, and you know, he really seemed like he loved TNA and wanted to be there, and I don't know, maybe it's just a money issue, or I guess they're just not offering him enough money for what he's asking for or what, but you know, yeah, it comes at the worst possible time for them right now. I mean, he just put Dixie through a table last week on Impact, you know, and from what I was reading on Gurwick.net, you know, because I haven't really watched a lot of Impact, so I don't really know a lot of what's going on besides, you know, reading the results and spoilers on Gurwick.net, but, you know, from the story that was posted today about him meeting with the talent backstage is, you know, that they've already filmed, you know, a bunch of it, and he's also, you know, that there's another match that they've already planned, which they haven't filmed yet, and it's going to throw, you know, a monkey wrench in those plans, and they're going to have to come up with something different on the fly, basically. So it's, you know, kind of like, ask it who else it was that they let the contract, you know, go to the last minute and ended up losing the wrestling. It's basically, you know, I guess the same thing in this one. You know, they're letting didn't they know that contract was coming up, you know, before they did all these tapings, and yeah, it just, I don't know, it just seems like a whole cluster, you know, don't know what's going on, I guess, but yeah, it's not a good time for him to be leaving the company right now.
No. What do you think about this, Andrew?
I'm the one that reported it on Gurwick after it was broke by another site. You know, I've got a couple, you know, it's interesting how you said that they had the meeting last week and now this comes out. I think that's really where TNA is really in deep trouble. If you remember last year, they, you remember the memo that Dixie's mother put out that the company, they were not looking to sell the company, the company wasn't for sale. And then eventually they had to come out and admit that, yes, they were taking offers and were possibly interested in possibly selling it to Jarrett and Toby Keith. And then you have the whole incident with Vince Russo. No, he wasn't working for the company, and he goofed up, sends an email to a dirt sheet instead of Mike Tenay, and this, you know, of course, they tried denying that, and it eventually came out that, hey, yeah, you know, we were hiding it for this reason, but it's true. And now, you know, this, just the long line of this, these kind of actions going on. And I think more than anything that, you know, a lot of the talent backstage still, when they get told stuff like this, there's still a lot that believe it. Yet at the same time, you know, they're getting more skeptical, and I really don't get why TNA's still doing this to their to the talent. You know, I completely understand why guys like AJ and Sting and Saban and Bad Influence, all these guys are leaving because they really don't care about the talent anymore.
I don't, you know, I mean, I don't know about necessarily if they left on their own. From what I read, it was about a money thing. They didn't want to pay them what they wanted. I think that this is coming at the worst possible time for TNA right now. you know, they had a little momentum coming out of the New York City tapings. But so there was Bully Ray, who has been a staple there since 2005. And they're supposed to be coming up, you know, in the TNA Hall of Fame this year. I mean, this is bad. I mean, you know, they're talking about there's been no talk about Bound for Glory. I mean, we could be seeing the final days of TNA wrestling. And to me, that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. Because, I mean, it's not like there's a lot of places to work as it is. I mean, you know, Ring of Honor is there, but is Ring of Honor going to go to the next level? I don't know. I would hope they would, but I don't know. And TNA has national TV with Spike. If Spike was to go out and buy TNA, that's a different story. That would be good life, you know, being for the business. That would give more people, you know, more opportunity. But they got to get the Carters out of there. They have to get Dixie out of there. They got to get the Carter family away from it and somehow salvage this product as best they can. Because look at how many people they've let go. They've let go AJ Styles. They've let go, you know, Sting. They've let go all these different guys. You know, it's funny how Sting the entire time he was at TNA meant nothing. But the moment he crosses over to the other side, he means something and he's relevant again. It's kind of like what RVD said, you know, a year ago. But,
yeah, the
you know,
whole video package they did for him when he returned.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I truly think that in a year from now, you know, I don't think there will be a TNA still around. At least nothing like it is today. Maybe new ownership, if it's still around. But I really don't see, I you know, the writing's been on the wall for a very long time. And truth be told, the only reason TNA, we're still talking about TNA today, is because the Carters, you know, through Panda Energy, have more money than the McMahons could ever dream of having. If, you know, if not, you know, we would not still be talking about TNA this many years after the writing's been on the wall.
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, yeah, the Carters have money. Don't get it twisted. They have money. They're just not going to be willing to invest any more money in TNA. I mean, what did they lose this year? They're talking about what, $45 million or something like that?
Well,
some ridiculous number.
To that point, WWE, as of right now, is on track to lose the most money ever in 1 year in the history of the business. It breaking the, I think it was, what, $62 million that by WCW in 2000. Right now, WWE's on pace to break that.
Well, that's crazy, but, you know, that's what happens when you start up a network. And you don't have it all, you don't have it planned out. You just run with it. That's what happens.
I mean, I think this also speaks to a problem that's really plagued TNA for quite some time, is that they've always pushed the former WWE guys, former WCW guys, and former ECW guys over their own homegrown talent. So, I mean, when you looked at WCW back in the day, Sting, Flair, Goldberg, DDP, those are the recognizable stars of WCW. You know, WWF and the Attitude Era, like Austin, Rock, Undertaker, Triple H, those are the recognizable stars of WWE. The ECW is, you know, Taz, the Dudleys, list goes on and on. With TNA, I mean, besides us hardcore fans, that may like AJ or Samoa Joe, you know, or Daniels even, the guys they put to the forefront were always Hogan and, you know, Flair and the other guys, the brother Kennedy, you know?
Right.
And now that they may be in the situation where they have to shop for a new home, one of the things that New Network's going to say is, okay, who are your stars? And they haven't grown any. So it's really, this is really now coming back to bite them.
You know, in my opinion, too, I mean, we've said this so many times about wrestling companies pushing the reset button. You know, if Spike buys TNA, reset the whole damn thing. That's what they're going to have to do. Because the problem is, I said this so many times on the podcast, is that a lot of the wrestlers have this TNA stigma-itis that they can't wash off. And they'll know that you worked for TNA. And it's a failed brand. It's a failure. You know, it started off a failure. And it's going to end a failure. And I do believe that we are looking at the last days of TNA wrestling. And it's a shame. Because, as I've said before, Dixie Carter and family, they're going to be fine. They have millions and millions and millions of dollars. They're going to be okay. The wrestlers are not going to be okay. You know, and I mean, TNA just had another big blow because I believe it was Davey Richards broke his leg.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's just nothing but just bad luck after bad luck after bad luck right now with the Dad brand. And it's a shame.
Yeah, it's, I'll be the first one to point out when the thing when TNA does bad, but at the same time, it's, you know, I wish they could do something, but they can't. I mean, like you were pointing out, with like WCW back in the day, they brought in guys that had made their name in the other company, but at the same time, it wasn't, completely dominated by guys that made their name in another company. It was, they had a very good core of guys that were homegrown that's from their company that just they brought in stars that, supplemented their homegrown talent. But TNA, it's like, we're bringing a couple, we're having a couple homegrown guys to supplement the guys we stole from this other company.
Very true, and that's always been a problem with TNA, and they're like Adley said, they're suffering for it now. But we're gonna go ahead and end the podcast tonight on that note, and Adley, Daniel, and Andrew, you can go ahead if you're on social media, Twitter, go ahead and plug your Twitter, go ahead and plug the Body Slam, and do what you want.
Yes, please look out for the newest episode of the Body Slam podcast at Gerwick.net. That's GERWECK.net at the end of the week. And please hit me up on Twitter at Midnight Logic Go.
And I am the Wrestling Jackal on Twitter. That's RASTLINJACKAL.
And I'm Andrew. My name on Twitter is WWC Hollywood. Something to keep an eye out for. Me and Daniel, the Wrestling Jack over there, we got a new podcast in the works that we're going to be. It'll be exclusive to Gerwick. So in the coming weeks, look for that. It's going to be called The Smash Brothers. But other than that, you guys have a good night, and I'm glad. I gotta say, let's get everybody's last opinion overall on the pay-per-view. Your favorite match of the night, and your overall grade. I don't think I ever got to. You asked about grades. I don't think anybody actually gave a grade. Oh, we did, didn't we?
Yeah, we did that. We did the one through. We did the 1 to 10.
Yeah, that's right. But you guys have a good night, and I'm out.
All right, and this is Frank D. You can follow me on Twitter at RealFrankDEE. And look out for the next Gerwick Report podcast edition whenever we put it up. I know that the webmaster is going to be out and about for a little while, so we'll see what happens. But I hope you have enjoyed this edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, Sunday edition, SummerSlam edition. And stay tuned for all the latest pro wrestling news and vote on the 100 women tournament that's going on right now at Gerwick.net, and keep it to Gerwick.net for all the pro wrestling news going around. And for Daniel and Adley and Andrew, I'm Frank D saying good night.